will, first of all, turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to go to a couple scriptures. Matthew chapter 28. A few weeks ago, we started a sermon series concerning serving God. We quickly learned that God called every Christian to serve, not sit. That's weak, brother. We quickly learned that God called every single Christian to serve, not sit. There we go. In our last message, we learned that the first thing we must do to effectively serve God is to love other people, and the first person we're to love is ourselves. We learned that we have a hard time forgiving ourselves for what we have done and what we have not done for the Lord. We learned that it did not matter what we were doing for God. If we do not love others, what we're doing is we're doing it for nothing. That service was useless and wasted unless we loved others. This morning, as we continue this sermon series, I want to ask yet another question. If God has called us to serve Him, which He has, and if every person, every single person who calls themselves a Christian has a special gift that God has given them to serve Him with, which we do, then what is it, church? Why do we not see more people serving God? Think with me here for a second. I've had one person, just one person in my life, ask me if I had a personal relationship with Jesus. If America is full of Christians who are supposed to be serving God with the gift God has given them to serve them, then why in the world do you think we wouldn't have more than one person in 45 years of my life to ask me about a relationship with Jesus? If we love people the way Scripture tells us to love, shouldn't someone, anyone, more than just that one person have asked me about Jesus? Church, Jesus said for us to go. He told us to go. Listen to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I command you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." If Jesus said for us to go, then why in the world are we not going? Why during testimony time are we not hearing people announce how God allowed them to win 2, 3, 4, or even 5 people to the Lord this past week? Listen to me, church. I'm going to tell you the truth, and the truth hurts, and it hurt me first. Okay? I'm going to tell you the truth. The reason we are not serving, the reason we are not witnessing, the reason people are not hearing about the greatness of our Jesus, and the reason people are dying and going to hell is because Christians are afraid. We're scared. Now, y'all remember when we were kids, somebody walked up to you and said, "Are you scared?" What would you say? I ain't scared of nothing. The saying in my day was, if you're scared, get in my pocket. Let's go. Follow me. But you have to admit, I mean, think about this thing. We're called to go. We're given a gift. But yet we don't see a lot of substance. We don't see a lot of going, do we? How many of y'all yesterday, somebody came up and asked you about Jesus? Anybody? How many of y'all this past week, somebody came up and asked you, "Do you know Jesus?" We have one. Shouldn't it be that America is full of Christians that we ought to see it way more often than what we see? Well, Brother Kyle, you said we're scared. What do you mean? How can we get over this? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Timothy is a recording from Paul to Timothy. It's viewed by scholars as the last book Paul wrote, the last letter Paul wrote. He's no longer in house arrest. He is in Roman prison. He's no longer looking, seeing that God's going to release him, although he could have. He knows that his pending time on earth is just about gone, and he is going to be executed. So he writes to Timothy, one who helped him in the ministry, one who stood beside him so many times. And he's writing Timothy these last words, the last words we'll hear from Paul. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will for the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my forefathers did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, remembering your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy, clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also. Therefore, I remind you, remember, Timothy, I don't have you right now. I long to see you, but this is what I want you to remember. I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, knowing that time is drawing near. God, we pray that you would still our hearts, still our minds. God, open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Help us to be receptive to your word. Lord, I pray that I might not be seen, but that your power would be felt as I preach this message. Not because of me, any gift or ability that I have, but it's all for you, God. This is all through you and for you. God, help us to be receptive to your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Church, if God did not give us a spirit of fearfulness, then why are we afraid? Let me ask that again. Let it penetrate. If God did not give us a spirit of fearfulness, then why in the world is it that we're afraid? Well, I believe there's a couple reasons. Where does this particular fear come from? Well, number one, I believe it comes from human nature. You know, we all have a human nature. All of us, right? Well, I believe some of it comes from human nature. How many children aren't afraid of the dark? As I was a child, I used to be scared to death of the dark. I would not sleep unless I had a flashlight with me. Really. And when the batteries ran out, I was scared. Most children do not like the dark. The dark is full of monsters and ghosts in their minds, right? It's really not, but I mean, that's the way a child thinks. As an adult, you know, we have fears as well. Well, you know, how many of y'all in here like snakes? Crazy people. I don't like live ones, dead ones, real ones, fake ones, fat ones, ugly ones. I don't like poisonous. I don't like non-poisonous. I do not like snakes at all. You know, I see, there, I think there's a movie out now where this bear attacks people. I don't like bears that much. Go to the zoo. Wave at them, but I'm not going to get in there and try and feed them. I don't like lions and tigers and bears. I'm not going to try and pet them. Right? I'll look at them through the glass. Church, according to this scripture we just read, 2 Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but yet we still have fear in our lives. This human nature is really messing with our fears. If this is true, that God didn't give us a fearful nature, I must be able to support that claim with Scripture, right? right? Because Scripture supports Scripture, right? If God did not give us this spirit of fear, and it's part of its human nature, I've got to be able to support it with Scripture. Well, how about Adam? Adam walked in the Garden of Eden. Initially, when God created all, was he afraid of the animals? No. I believe that he walked and, you know, talked and just walked around them, and he said, "Hey, lion, hey, bear, y'all getting along?" I believe, you know, listen, they had communion. Nature and man had communion. It was man that messed the whole thing up. But even after that, you know, well, that's an easy one, Brother Kyle. Of course, Adam had, you know, he wasn't fearful, but is there any other support that you can give us in Scripture? Well, why, sure. Sure, listen, look with me real quick if you can. If you can turn there. If not, I'll just read with, you know, with what I've got here in front of me. How about David? Y'all know little David, not King David. I'm talking about little David, little boy David, right? Listen, listen to what David had a fear of. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34, David is talking to King Saul, and he says, "David answered Saul, 'Your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off the lamb from the flock, I ran like a scared little girl.'" Is that what your Bible says? No, it doesn't. It says, when a lamb was taken from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur and strike it down and kill it. That's a man's man right there, wasn't it? And we're talking about a little boy. Josh, can you imagine if you were out there tending sheep and you saw, you know, a big old wolf or a bear come up and he grabbed one of those sheep that you were tending? You know what? You know what we would most likely say? Well, got one less sheep to worry about now. David chased it down and grabbed the bear. A lot of us would call that crazy. He didn't have any fear. How about Samson? Judges 15:4 records an account where when Samson caught 300 foxes. Y'all know those things have rabies? I mean, that's what we tell ourselves, right? Look at that pretty fox. Oh, man, look at that good. I'm talking about the animal, okay? Look at that. Look, it's got a beautiful, beautiful fox. Red fox, silver fox. Look at it. No, they got rabies. I'm not touching that thing. Samson caught 300 foxes, tied their tails together by pairs, and put a torch between them to burn the Philistine fields. He wasn't afraid. Here's another one. How about Benaniah? He's recorded. Y'all don't know who that is, dude. Anybody know who Benaniah is? He is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 23 through verse 20 as doing something unbelievable. It was a snowy day in the Holy Land, and there was a lion roaming around. It fell into a pit. Everybody was afraid except for Benaniah. He went in a pit on a snowy, cold day and destroyed that lion. I went in there and killed that lion. That's funny, isn't it, Gary? Destroyed the lion. He killed him. I imagine if there was a lion caught in a pit out here, we'd have to draw numbers for somebody to go in and kill it. Right? I'll just stand here with a gun. No. Here's a knife or a spear. You've got to go in and do the job. I imagine there wouldn't be too many of us who signed up for that job. Church, listen. God did not give us a spirit of fear. We are to fear nothing and no one. To be quite honest about this, when we're facing anything that causes us fear, you know what our natural human reaction is? Run! Run! And listen to me. I want you to understand here. If you're in the woods and you hear a cougar, you know, first thing your legs are saying, baby, you better go. You better run like the wind. When you run, guess what? You're dead. You cannot outrun a cougar, a lion, a mountain lion. You can't outrun a bear. Can't do it. I don't know what you're going to do. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play possum. I'm laying down. I am going to play dead. Church, fear does come from human nature, but it also comes from another, and that's Satan. Satan can and will use any method at his disposal to keep us from accomplishing the will of God in our lives. The truth, listen, the truth, this is the truth. The truth is, very seldom has he ever had to use any other tactic on man other than fear. It works. What is it that Satan tells us to keep us fearful from serving God? Well, number one, he does this. You know, if you serve God, if you really serve God, people are going to call you a radical. People are going to call you a Bible thumper. People are going to call you evangelical. Listen to me. I'd rather be called all of the above than to be called a scaredy cat. Really. Mark called me a Bible thumper. It's not going to hurt my feelings. A radical. Evangelical. But I'd rather be called all of that than a scaredy cat. Really? Wouldn't y'all? Listen, Satan tells us something else. He says this. He says, you will lose your job if you talk about me. Your friends and your family will isolate you if you become bold in your witness for God. God will give you a better job. Listen to me. If you witness for him, I promise you, God will give you a better job. Listen, better friends and better family that would isolate, any family that would isolate themselves from you, listen, for your newfound bold witness are the very ones who need to hear about Jesus to begin with. I don't want to be around him every time he talks about Jesus. What better is there to talk about? All he wants to do is tell about how Jesus changed his life. I'm really concerned that some of y'all aren't excited about that. You know, if you don't have to or don't want to tell somebody about how Jesus changed your life, don't you ever question whether he really did or not? No response. Don't you see that you, if you're a Christian and you stand up and you're a witness, that you're in the minority? Satan tells us that. Listen, hey, you're in the minority. You're in the minority. People in America today don't want to hear anything about Jesus. They don't want to hear what you have to say. Listen to me. I know that I'm in the minority. I don't care that if I'm the only one who is being a witness, I will stand for Jesus even if I am the last person on this earth standing. Y'all know that day's coming, right? Church, I have to tell you here, I didn't always feel this way. I didn't. There was a time in my life, in my Christian walk, that I was ashamed to tell you I was fearful to be a witness for the Lord. Well, you may be asking, what happened, Brother Kyle? How did you change? Church, I just finally realized what God already knew. What was it? What changed you? I want to be a witness. I want to be a bold witness. What is it that I can do? Look at verse 7. Go all the way back to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy. Look at verse 7. This scripture that Paul writes to Timothy, it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness. We have on one hand something that God did not give us. Remember this. God didn't give you a spirit of fearfulness. But in the other hand, we have right in our view, right in our vision, something that God did give us. Something God didn't, something God did. Well, what is it that God did give us? He gave us a power, but one, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound judgment. That's good stuff. What changed me is understanding this, that he did not give me a spirit of fear, but he gave me something else. God had given me a spirit, has not given me a spirit of fear. God did give me one of power. This word power comes from the Greek word dynamis, which means strength, power, ability, moral power, and excellence of soul. Church, God has given us power to be a witness and to overcome when this world has us by the throat. Do you know, quite honestly, there's been many times when myself and you have prayed, Lord God, please give me your strength. give me your guidance, give me your understanding. And I imagine God standing at the threshold of heaven and saying, listen to me, I've already given it to you. Didn't you read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7? It's already yours. Claim it. Don't you know that, you know, through Christ we're everything? Have you read that scripture? How about I can do anything through the power of God? We have that power already. What else, Brother Kyle? What changed you? The second thing Paul tells us is this. God has given us a spirit of love according to this scripture. Do you know that what this means? It means that if we truly possess, not profess, if we possess this gift that God has given us with this attribute, that there may be a time when we don't like people for what they've done, but the Spirit will not allow us to hate them. We might not like some things some people have done to us, but the Spirit of God will not let us hate them. My wife did it to me again this week, y'all. You know, yeah. You know, I've told y'all, I kind of have an issue with allowing a lot of these Syrian refugees coming to America. I do. You know, I've seen pictures and I've seen, you know, the total devastation of Syria. And I see these hordes of people trying to come into to other borders. And I don't see a lot of women and children. I see just hordes of men. And in my mind, I just can't imagine America being in the devastating situation that Syria is in and not standing until my last breath to fight for America. I can't understand that. But my wife kind of rattled my cage this past week. She said, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but God told us to be a witness. And once they step foot on American soil, you're to be that witness. It doesn't matter how you feel and what you think. When they're here, and we are to love them to Jesus. We really are. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't like it. You don't have to like it. You have to love them. You have to love people for who they are. Well, they're not like me. Well, there's a lot of people who aren't like you, brother. God called you to love and to serve. All day. Every day. Well, he did something else. Listen. He did one other thing. He said, listen, we also see in this scripture that when we accepted Jesus, God gave us sound judgment. This is an attribute that you don't see a lot of Christians using nearly as much as they need to. Sound judgment. This means that what we now have, church, we know what it is that God wants us to do. The attribute, this particular attribute, helps us even when something looks like it came from God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Christians, God told me to do this. God told me to leave my husband and marry them. God told me my wife, because she burnt the beans, it was time for me to find another wife, and I married my neighbor down the street. She was single. God told, I was hungry, and God told me to steal some food. Listen to me. If it does not line up with Scripture, God didn't tell you to do it. Do you hear me? Did not. Discernment tells us right from wrong. You see, when we accepted Christ as our personal Savior, He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but He gave us something beautiful. He gave us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound judgment. Now, let's bring all this together. We can all agree that Scripture is true. And that if 2 Timothy tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but God has given us a spirit of power, love, and sound judgment. If this scripture is true, which I believe it is, then why are Christians not being the witnesses we're called to be and using these attributes God has given all of us? Why isn't? Number one, listen, it could be that today is the day you finally realize that you have these attributes, and from this point on, listen, you're going to devote your life to God and say, I'm going to use these attributes. I know I have them. God didn't make me to be afraid. God didn't give me a spirit of fearfulness. He's given me power. He's given me love. And I need to start using this. Number two, it could be that you don't trust God to be the man of His Word. You just don't believe that God has given you these abilities. He has. I promise you. I used to be a scaredy cat. If you walk 10 steps towards God, He'll walk 110 towards you. Number three, it could be that you just don't care. After all, the lost, you know, they've made their own decision to be lost. No, church, if you don't care about the lost world, then I don't believe that you know the same Jesus that I do. Do you really love them? Do you pray for the lost? Do you really want God to use you to be a witness to the lost? Number four, do you know what scares me way more than witnessing to a person who is lost? Get this, I'm just about done, church, just about done. Do you know what scares me, Gary, more than witnessing to a lost person? Standing before Jesus one day and having to answer to Him why I was not willing to use the gifts that He gave me to serve Him. Quick survey. Is there anybody in here who is not going to stand before Jesus one day? Anybody? Scripture says every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess, right? God's called us to be a witness. Are you not a little bit afraid to stand before Him, not using your gifts to the greatest abilities? I am. I really am. Now, where are we at today? We're almost all the way back to Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7 says the beginning of all wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. The beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Church, this is the last truth I want you to understand this morning. The reason why most Christians aren't serving God is because they're more afraid of human nature and circumstance than they are of God. I fear God. That's why every single day I want to do something to serve Him. I know that I haven't served Him enough. I don't know that I'll ever be able to serve Him enough. I don't feel like I can ever serve Him enough. But when I stand before Him, I do not want to stand empty-handed. I want every single day to count. Whether it's putting a stamp on a piece of money that says, Jesus is coming, are you ready? Whether it's putting a track in a bill and sending it to, whether it's walking through Walmart and putting tracks in envelopes or putting them in magazines or handing them to people. Whether it's looking at a cashier when they say, how are you doing? And you say, I'm great, Jesus changed my life. Do something for the glory of God. Listen, don't stand before Him one day empty-handed. Well, I do something some days. Do something every day. Every single day, do something. God created us all to serve Him. How are you doing? How are you doing? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love You and we praise You and we thank You for this day. We thank You for this message. We thank You that Paul loved Timothy so much that he wrote these words. They were recorded not only for Timothy, but Lord, but for us today. Lord, I pray during this time of invitation that Your Spirit would move because You are righteous, You are holy, You are worthy. Lord, help us right now to see ourselves as You see us. Help us to calculate in our mind right now, are we serving You the way You created us to serve? And if we're not, help us to fall on our face before You. seeking your wisdom, seeking your direction that only you can give. In Christ Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this morning? The altar's open.